So, yesterday we noted that our Gemara deals with the issue of sweeping a little bit. It talks about the two types of brooms, a cloth broom and a broom made out of date branches. Amarav, Machbedo, Shel Milsa, Mutter, Vitato, Vishabis, Aval Shel Tamara, Lo. And what Lazar says, even Shel Tamara. So, what's the issue with sweeping? Rashi over here writes, "Kein shalom lachabed es habayis to aser misha mashvuyeh gumos to madir shem emsekreish v'yamos." The potential problem here is because of sekreisha for hashavas gumos. That's the issue with sweeping, and of course, if that's the case, so then we're in good shape because we don't have gumos in our houses. Our houses are paved. All the houses in the city are paved. Now's not the time to get into the sugya of binyan, but then l'chore the problem would be solved. If you look, though, at Tosfos on Tadi Hei Amud Aleph, he raises a different issue. Says Tosfos, Behag Shari Kibud Mehai Taima Dafilu B'dechutzin Beinir L'ri You see from the Gemara, it's partially to toss it to sweep against the bag. Why? What's wrong with it? Doesn't say, like Rashi, that it's because of Hashavas Gumos, but he says, "Menei Shemes is offering him a koma." Now, the truth is, offering him a koma is not clear. It could actually be what Rashi says, Hashavas Gumos. Though, if you look at other Rishonim, and I think it's probably what Tosfos means, the simple reading of Tosfos, they say that the issue here is actually one of Tilta Muksa. What does that mean? That means that the dirt that you sweep with is muksa. The stam dirt is muksa. And therefore, when you sweep, you're moving around muksa, and that's also because of tilt on muksa. Now, if that is what Tosfos is saying, so then Tosfos is against the Taz. The Taz holds, this is a Shimches Yudches, that sweeping would be begadir, I mean, he's not talking about sweeping, but it would come out according to him, that sweeping should be begadir a tiltum and a tzav tzav our mutter. We mentioned this machlokas a while back when we talked about tiltum and a tzad. How do you find tiltum and a tzad? Sweeping is indirect. I don't directly move the muksa. I indirectly move the muksa in the sense that the broom is moving the muksa. Or, for that matter, let's say I take a knife and I push the the muksa shells off my table into the garbage can. Is that tiltum and a tzad? So what? Well, that's the machlokas. The Taz says it's not. The Taz says that's tiltum and a tzad. Indirect movement, l'tzarch Shabbos, l'tzarch davar mutter, should be mutter. And especially, so, l'chora, you see from these Tosfos against the Taz. Certainly from the other Rishonim over here. Tosfos, again, is somewhat ambiguous. You could try to shtuk Rashi into Tosfos, but the other Rishonim that state explicitly that the issue here is because of tiltum muksa. So you see that they don't seem to hold like this Taz. One reason why they might disagree with the Taz is what you were suggesting, which is an idea that the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, which is that Ziyad Arichta, you know, you can't call sweeping tiltum and atzad, or you can't call taking a knife and moving the shells away, even though it is indirect movement, because I'm not using my hand, but that knife, in that case, is just an extension of my hand. Just because I'm using an instrument doesn't make it tiltum and atzad. Tiltum and atzad has to be indirect movement, and this is essentially direct movement. And that would be why the Rishonim over here are assuming that sweeping is not tiltum and atzad. You could also, by the way, say, no, it's not because the Rishonim hold like the Shulchan Aruch Rav that this is Yad Arichta. Rather, you could say the Rishonim hold like the Chazon Ish. That, remember, the Chazon Ish held that the Pshat and Tiltum Atzal and Tzortav and Mutter being Mutter is not Alts. Indirect movement being Mutter
Letzach Shabbos, like the Ritva and others have said, but rather it's because the heter is that your tiltal is misyaches to the heter and not to the iser, because it's the yikr. Ah, well, in this case, sweeping, there's no question that the tiltal is misyaches to the dirt, right? Because my whole point is to move the dirt. So maybe the reason why the Rishonim all reject the, assume that, I shouldn't say all, why a number of Rishonim say that sweeping would be muksa, and you have to either toss her, you'll have to come on up with some type of heter, is because they hold that, like the Chazon Ish definition of tiltal min hatzad, let's talk about mutter. Yes?
The Chazon Ish agrees when I move the chavis to the Eben. I'm doing it to move the Eben, but that's still called tiltal min hatzad because you need the makom of the Eben is.
That's Pashat. Because there my tiltal is still. So how does the Chazon Ish explain that? You tell me. Why is this? Why is sweeping totally different for the Chazon Ish than moving the barrel?
I was wondering why it is different.
Okay, good. So the answer is that if you learn like the mitzvah, so then you could say they're the same, right? And that's what the Taz certainly holds. However, the ritva is havana of tiltal min hatzad zocher, not the ritva over here by sweeping. But if you hold, the Chazon Ish is saying no, that I want to use my barrel, right? Or I want the space of the barrel. And therefore, I'm moving the barrel. And it happens to be that the stone is moving along with the barrel. But my ikar tiltal is misyaches to the barrel, and the stone is coming along. So if I could do near, I have to do near. If I can't do near, like it's bein achavios, so then it's mutter, because my tiltal is misyaches to the barrel. The barrel is the ikar. The stone is just tagging along. And that's the heter of tiltal min hatzad letzorach davar mutter. Mashein kein sweeping, my whole goal is to move the muksa, right? That's what the point of sweeping is, to take the dirt and get it off the floor and into the dustpan. My whole point is to move the muksa. That is my goal. I'm simply using a kli, namely a broom, because it's easier to move the, capture the dust with a broom than with my hands. So therefore, it's a tool to move the muksa. So therefore, it's pashut that sweeping is not tiltal min hatzad based off of that rationale. If you learn that, again, like the Ritva school of thought, and it's not just a Ritva, it's many, many Rishonim, but if you learn like that school of thought, so then the Taz's approach makes a lot of sense. Now, you could still reject the Taz because of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that it's Yad HaRichta. But, so you could say, how do we look at sweeping within the Ritva school of thought? We could say it should be mutter, because it's still indirect movement, letzorach davar ha-mutter, letzorach Shabbos, or it should be usher, because we can't call this indirect movement, this is just a yad arich, that's direct movement, right? So again, let's take one step back. Many, many Rishonim over here assume that sweeping would be a problem of tiltal muksa. Therefore, it's usher, or maybe it's going to be mutter for some separate heter, like Graf Shalvei. We'll get there in a second. But fundamentally, sweeping should be tiltal muksa, right? And not begadr tiltal min hatzad letzorach davar mutter. So why is that? So we're saying two possibilities. One is, really, the heter is like the ritva, that tiltal min hatzad letzorach davar mutter means indirect movement for Tzorach Shabbos is mutter, but this is an indirect movement because it's Yad HaRechta, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, or you could say like the Chazon Ish, and say that this is not tiltal min hatzad at all. Those are two mahalchim to explain the Rishonim who are machmir by muksa, but overall, good, by sweeping. So that is, so far we have two approaches. We have Rashi and Tosfos. So let's turn to the Ritva over here, since we mentioned the Ritva. So what does the Ritva over here say? So it's part of a bigger discussion in the Ritva, but we'll just look at what's relevant for us. Vim tomer v'afil tamedik v'davayis lo mitzar mishem dashu yegumos. He solved the Ashvas Gumos problem. Right, let's say you have paved floors. Typically, the Asher Mishum Shumeiz is afar. Dahu afra vadai lavadai te ale meas moloch suye beiman. In other words, the dust on your floor is certainly muksa. Duhum ivdar vat lakargabai is viesh lomar. Dekei van dimitzdar mehevla shavi rabbanan kagrav shalvei vishari. Okay, good. So first of all, Ritva Lashitasa, you can't answer like the Chazon Ish, right? So he needs a different hetter as to why. She needs to attack it. Should be, well, I guess you don't see it. Fine, forget that point. So he says, why is it mutter? Should be aser? Answer, Rav Shalrei. Beautiful pshat. Now, the question's going to be, if we accept this answer of the Ritva, and we will see indeed that this is what the Mishnah Berurah quotes, whether this would apply nowadays to us. Why? Most of the time, people like to sweep on Shabbos after their meals, but you couldn't really say about most of the time. Maybe some people, they're really troubled by it, but most of the time, you probably wouldn't say about a dusty, a dirty floor after a meal, mitzta'er mehevla, right? There's not really any hevel coming up from your floor. So, on the one hand, it sounds like it should be a problem nowadays. But first, one issue, which we're not going to deal with now. We're going to get to that, Be'ezras Hashem. When we talked, we already brought up this issue when we talked about garbage a little bit. One question is, when we sweep our floors after a Shabbos meal, so most of it is crumbs from the meal. Is that muksa or not? It's edible, but on the other hand, it's not omed lachila. And is it? Would you give it to a dog? Would a dog eat it? So we're not ready to solve that question yet. That's a question we'll get back to, Be'ezras Hashem. But let's assume for the moment. So one possible heter might be that the dirt on our floors typically actually isn't muksa. It's not you. It's not mostly dirt actually in our floors on Shabbos when you sweep, especially if you swept Erev Shabbos. So the sweeping that you're going to do Friday night after your meal is going to be crumbs. It's not going to be just last night. we were sweeping after supper, and my daughter, Rachel, swooped in, sat down on the pile of dirt, and started eating it. There's noodles, there was other food there. Like, we didn't feed. She never eats when we give her supper. Like, on her eye chair, we try to give her food, and she just throws it onto the floor. Because that's mutter. It's mein genuvim. She know anything she's allowed to do, she has no interest in. But like eating the dust pile. So
it tastes better.
My wife says, ugh! So then, she knows this is something she wants to do, because it's awesome. So she sits down on the floor and starts eating the food off the floor. She was the one who threw it on the floor in the first place. That's a different child. So now,
should she make that dumb?
Exactly. So of course, in my family, sweeping after the Friday night meal might for sure be mutter. It's very lachila. Forget achilas klavim, achilas bnei adam. Okay, that's not everybody has that matzah. So anyway, one possible kula that we'll consider, but not today, is maybe oftentimes the dust pile will not be muksa. But for now, let's assume it is muksa. Oftentimes it will be muksa. So the question is, do you have any other hetera? So we have the heter. So the Ritva has this heter of Grav Shalvei. The question is the Ritva heter relevant for us? Because we're not mitzdayer from the hevel of the floor. On the other hand, if you look at the laws of the Ritva, it's very interesting. It doesn't say, v'yesh lomar kivin hastar mehavla kigrav shalvei, but v'shari, he adds in a couple words, Kevan demitzdar mehavla shavu rabbanon kigrav shalvei v'shari. Now, this is not muchrach, but one way to read this would be that this is not a natural grav shalvei. It's not disgusting enough to qualify for the normal rules of Grav Shalvei, and that's also a topic that we need to discuss. We'll get there, Be'ezras Hashem. How gross does something need to be a Grav Shalvei? But maybe what the Ritva is saying is that Chachamim said that the dust on the floor is Kid Grav Shalvei, and even though it doesn't meet the standards of Grav Shalvei, it's mutter across the board. And that's why it's mutter. And maybe that's also And maybe we accept that. Maybe that's what the Mishnah Berurah holds as well. Mishnah Berurah, we'll get to it, has a maybe a sort of similar lashon. And you could be medayik that from the following. Everybody is assuming, I mean, not everyone, it's a machlokas, but those that say it's mutter to sweep, all say it's mutter, and many of them say it's mutter because of Rav Shalmei, like we said, including Mishnah Berurah. And nobody said, like in Ukimta, it's mutter b'makom shemitzdar mehavla mishum graf shalmei. They don't, when the Mishnah Berurah quotes this kula, he doesn't say, he doesn't imply that it's mutter only in a very isolated situation, right? In the days of the Mishnah Berurah, it's hard to imagine that their dirt was like very smelly. The dirt that they swept off the floor after a meal, maybe, I don't know, it was around 150 years ago. But I have no reason to believe that it was like that different. Maybe, so why does he just paskin ben astam it's mutter al tzgav shalmei? And the answer is, chachamim were matir sweeping because of shavua kegraf shalmei. It is something that's bothersome. That's why people like to sweep. It's not extraordinarily discomfort, you know, smelly, but it's good enough. So that's figured out. If you look at the Milchamos over here, when he quotes this heter, the Milchamos also mentions Rav Shalmei. He has another heter as well, which we'll see, an interesting heter. But he doesn't have that type of formulation. It sounds a little bit worse in the Milchamos. Let's see, where's the Milchamos? Is over here. I think it's on page Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Mem Ches Amud Beis. Yeah, here we are. Vim Toma, Vim Tishal, Valo, Bekibut Abayis, Mazes, who afar, Shainam, and Amulchon. Omer ani shelo etiru elo b'makom suda da'abe lei graf shel rei dekom et stari mehavla. So he doesn't say it like the mitzvah does, shavua rabbanon k'graf shel rei. He says it is a graf shel rei. So this kula, which might be a decent interpretation of the mitzvah and the Mishnah Berurah, from the Ramban doesn't sound that right, but maybe the Mishnah Berurah, you know, passes like the Ritva. I think that the Orchot Shabbos more or less accepts that interpretation. The Ramban is another answer, which actually brings us back to the Taz. Until now, we sort of said that the Taz is in bad shape because the Rishonim don't give that cool on the Taz. But the Ramban has another answer, actually. So sounds like perhaps that the Ramban was specific about this point. Is the Taz right or not? Maybe the Taz, and therefore he gives two different answers. Most Rishonim, though, don't accept it. The only Rishon that brought this possibility is the Mochamos that we found, at least. The Rashba, the Ravid, Tosfos, the Ritva all don't mention the heter of Tiltum Natsad, which would seem to indicate that most Rishonim don't seem to accept the Taz. So far, what are the heterim we have? We have the heter of Tiltum Natsad in one answer in the Ramban, and the Taz. We have the most popular answer so far is the Graf Shalmei. Maybe Taket's Aser, that's what some Rishonim hold. Would be Aser. Yeah.
The Ram in Beisu and the Beisu in Beisu.
Oh, yeah? Oh, good. Good. So the Ram in. Good.
Okay,
so. Okay, so good. The Ram and the Beisu. So, okay, so we do have more than one Rishon giving that answer. So those are our, I guess, three approaches so far, right? Either it's Aser, that's a view of many Rishonim, or it's Mutter because of Gasharei, or it's Mutter because of Tiltum and Hatzad. The Chazon Ish gives a fourth answer, which is not cited explicitly in any Rishonim. Another possibility, this is a Mem Zayin Chaf Aleph from the Chazon Ish, and that is that maybe it's Batel to the ground. They actually saw the Ritva saying, well, one, no, it's Asr. That's the first four approaches. Three approaches. It's Asr, right? Or Lactosa says it's Asr, right? It's Asr, and if it's Mutter, because of Tolim Ratzadav Rasha, right? Says Chazon Ish, maybe it's Mutter because Batul ground. The Ritva was saying it's because Batul ground is going to be Asr, because it's Achana. But he's saying, no, maybe it's Mutter because Batul bottle to ground. What does that mean exactly? So at first, we thought that meant it was like we saw before by the Nitzotzos. Remember, we had the idea that Darshan and Mamish, all the way back at the beginning of where we said that Nitzotzos don't create Bittul Kli Mechana when you capture the Nitzotzos, because Inba Mamish, that we saw Inba Mamish didn't mean there was literally no Mamashas, because then there's nothing to talk about. Right? You did seem to capture something in that Kli. But they are muksa, theoretically, but rather it'd be bottle to it. Another way to say it might be a little different, because the Chazon Ish himself applies a slightly different scar. Scar that we find elsewhere in Hilchos Shabbos, like by Bolair, that the psoles is sometimes bottle to the ocha when it's part of it. The peel is of a fruit, and the like. One way or the other, though. So this would basically say that the dirt on your floor is not yet muksa, because it's not. It's almost like a separate, non-existent entity. Obviously, that it exists, but it's not seen as a separate entity from the floor.
The orange peel that comes off the orange, Chazon Ish would say that it's not muksa.
After you peel it, it's different.
So this is once you scoop it up.
So scooping won't help for this. We have not yet discussed the dust in the dustpan. We're so far discussing only the act of sweeping. The next step we're going to talk about in just a minute is going to be the dustpanning. But let's just wait there for 1 second. Again, it's a hard, because it's not cited in the Rishonim, though maybe you see it a little bit in the Rashba, we thought, maybe. Because the Rashba over here, it says like this. The Kasva Raivit Zal, Tadavka Shekibe Dasabais Mir Shabbos, Halav Hachli, Aser, Devadai Aser, Virginus. Tadavka Bedaleka Klipe Mimonim, Kiyote Ben, Sheinan Reuyin Letaltel. To me, Ali, Shem Kain, Klau Klalo Yachabe, Dahmez is offering the Machala. The Ravid says that, the Ravid says that you're allowed to sweep, but not klipe mimonim, right? Not shells or egg, things like that. So tachian, and the Rashba says, what are you talking about, Ravid? I don't understand. There's dust. Dust is moksa. So. Ravid wasn't stupid, so unless you say we're talking about a case where Yimamish swept up so good before Shabbos that there's no dust at all, maybe. Or maybe the Ravid, of course, knows that there's dust, like the Rashba asks, but the Ravid held like the Chazon Ish. The dust is bottled to the ground and wouldn't be considered an issue of Tilto Muksa. But shells of Rimon, that we wouldn't really say is bottled to the ground. And Mimela, if you're sweeping up shells of rimon, that would be tilto muksa. But if you're sweeping up dust, it wouldn't be tilto muksa because it's batel to ground. So maybe there is a rishon that holds like the Chazon Ish. Fine. So those are the different kulas in terms of the sweeping.
Yeah.
Okay. Further raya. That for the maybe that the Ravid holds over Chazon Ish. Good. Now, okay. So Ad Kan, and so what in terms of us nowadays? So again, Lachora, the Haterim that we're going to have are either the Taz, that we could be Somechan, the Taz, or the Graf Shel Rei point, especially if you say Ashvinu Graf Shel Rei. Or again, maybe the Chazanish, or maybe it's Aser. Let's assume, though, it's Mutter. I think one can sweep on Shabbos. But what about, like Aaron brought up, what about the dust panning? So this could be better and it could be worse. Why would you say it's better? Maybe here you wouldn't have the objection of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, because it's not Kiyada Richta. I'm carrying the dustpan. The dustpan is full of muksa dirt. No, this is standard tiltman al tzad. Letzarch davar mutter would be mutter. So on the one hand, you do have that. On the other hand, it could be much worse, because here you have the issue of basis, right? What do I mean to say? That the dustpan is now a basis to the dirt that's in it. Now, this brings us back to our discussion. We discussed this earlier when we talked about garbage. We noted that on the one hand, we have this concept of shari kosos not being muksa because they're insignificant. On the other hand, we do see the marasim, at least tosfos, and we shown them assume that you couldn't, there would be an issue of buses with the klipos on the table in the Mishnah and Gemara and Beit Zadaf, Beis Med Aleph. So, very bekitzer, to review what we saw basically three approaches in the Rishonim. One approach was the Baal HaMor, and this is quoted by the Magen Avraham. And he said, I have to look back at the last time I quoted it, I don't remember. This view said, no, ein basis b'emsa Shabbos. And therefore, there's no buses here, right? Assuming my dustpan was empty and free of dust at the beginning of Shabbos, there's no issue of buses. So the only issue is going to be tiltum natzad. Tiltum natzad, we have kulas for. The middle view, and this is the view of the Ramban and a number of Rishonim, we thought this was probably the most popular sheet among the Rishonim. Now, as I said, the Magen Avraham passing like this Baal HaMor, sorry, but as we saw last time, the Chazanish got very upset with the Magen Avraham. What's he doing? Passing like Das Yachid? How could you do that? How could you say that? So, the middle view is the Ramban and other Rishonim, and they say no. They say that it is going to be a basis if you're planning to leave it on it for the rest of Shabbos. So, the case over there, for example, we're talking about putting the muksa kalim, dropping them from your donkey onto pillows, then you do have an issue with basis and bitul chli mechano and the like. But if you're planning to take it off for the rest of Shabbos, then sometime during Shabbos, it would not be a basis issue. That's true, perhaps, even if you generally don't take Rabbeinu Tam's theory that even that on Erev Shabbos it's not going to be a basis if you're going to take it off on Shabbos here. When it comes to basis b'emtza Shabbos, basis b'emtza Shabbos is only a basis. So now, in this case, if you hold like that middle view, it's going to be no problem. Why? My dustpan isn't going to be a basis because I'm planning to take off the dust in just 2 minutes, right? Whereas the most machmir view is the view of Tosus Beis Yosef seem to paskin like this, which is even if you're going to take it off in the middle of Shabbos, as long as it's on it, it's going to be basis. Assuming you don't hold like a Rabbeinu Tam's kula, if there's muksa on the dustpan, it should be a basis. Chazon Ish happened to think you should paskin that way, I think. So then you would have an issue, but according to certainly the Magen Avraham, and the Mishavur I think is like the Magen Avraham, or even the Ramban, Rashba, Meiri, that popular view in the Rishonim, then you should be okay. And of course, even if you held like the Chazon Ish, you could still have the Kula of Graf Shel Rei. But, no, it's if you pass them like Tosfos in terms of buses. Yes?
And you also have a Kula of buses. It will still be a food error.
Well, if you have enough, if you have food in there, that's actually mutter. Yes, correct. In other words, you could, it might be the case, and again, this is something I'm going to get back to, it might be the case, depends what you're sweeping up. Sometimes all you sweep up is dirt and crumbs. Crumbs, though they're edible, it's not clear that they would or wouldn't be necessary. So that's a question we're going to have to come back to.
Right, it's food.
The question is, what about for us? So, but that, as I said, Be'ezus Hashem, that's a topic we're going to get back to.
Really?
Yes.
If you assume Gresh Shovei is like some kind of Xerah, so the Mehecha Tesa that would apply once you sweep into the dustpan.
You don't mean Xerah, like Ashvinu, so they're only Matu sweeping and not dustpanning. So if it's a true Gresh Shovei, it would certainly be Mutter.
Yeah.
What you're suggesting is the following. It's a reasonable point, which is that there's no true Gresh Shovei here. Elamai were saying they were matir sweeping of Gresh Shovei, but that's sweeping, not dustpanning. So memela, and I don't know how the Rishonim got rid of it. Maybe they didn't use dustpans; they just swept it out of their house into the street. But the artificial heter of Gresh Shovei would only matir sweeping and not dustpanning. Kenzai. It happens to be that, as I said, you could be. It's much easier to be matir the dustpan than it is the sweeping, right? Because this is Tiltum Natzel, it's Arach Dagar
Mutter. Why wouldn't this be a Yad Arichta?
It's not Yad Arichta, I don't think.
Isn't it a better Yad Arichta?
Well, so it's a good question, and you have to look carefully at the Svara. The reason, it depends how you understand Yad Arichta. I would think that this is not a Yad Arichta, though I hear what you're saying, because this is mamish like we were saying, like the Chavis with the Aven. Yad Arichta is when I am using the knife to push over the shells, right? Here's a shell, and I'm just using this knife to push it over. It's not that the shells are in the knife. So the knife is my hand, right? And my hand is now extending 3 or 4 more inches, right? That's the svara of Yad Arichta. In which case, sweeping is indeed a problem. But once the muksa is inside the kli, dahinu the dustpan, so then it's mutter. Then it's mutter. That's what I would think. That so the Chazon Ish would still object to the dustpan, but the Shulchan Aruch HaRav wouldn't. That's what I think. I'll point out Aga something sort of interesting, which is you see from Tosfos, let's say it didn't do Ashvas Gumos, so then we're treating this room, Tos says, as a Klin Shvach Deliaser, right? So the Shlomo Zalman is quoted by Shmuel Shabbos Gilchasa as having a suffix about a kli that is miyuchad for sikresha. In other words, it doesn't do halacha directly. It does sikresha. Is that a kli shmuel pliyaser? He's talking about a car key or something like that. Anyway, sees Mesupik, but Luchaura, if you want to know where that is, I wrote it down here somewhere. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa.
Was the car key not doing the door?
The doors.
Oh, they're doors.
Yeah. It's in the new ones, it's Perk Chaf Hara Resh Sadi Gimel.
The card also, that's good. Yeah, more of the time you drive, the car is efficient.
Which we had to, in other words, half the usage at the very least of a key is to open the car door, right? Well, maybe not.
Rashi and Sugi makes it sound as if it is a klish malachalaser.
Yeah, and it's even more explicit in Tosfos. I agree. Yes, Sadi Gimel.
Tosfos is not talking about you.
No, Rashi? That was right.
No, I mean, Tosfos thinks that if it was a secretion.
Well, Tosfos is brought up there. Okay, so you're right. Yoni's right is better. Rashi.
And the Balamor.
Okay, good. So anyway, so maybe you have a raya I think anyway, Rosh Hashanah was a little more known to Lahachmir, but he didn't bring any raya. So from here, you have a raya to that question. Okay, good. Onwards. So the next sugya is a Shivrei Kelim. And first, let's give a very brief hakdama to the topic of Nolad, which comes up over here. Nolad's a very big topic, and certainly we're not going to do it now, but maybe a brief hakdama. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Chaf Tes Amud Aleph, we have a machlokas between Rebbe Yehuda and Shimon by Nolad. The two examples over there. One is, let's say, on Yontif, a guy took firewood, a bekas, right? Firewood on Yontif is not muksa. And he turned it into a kli. He took a log, and he fashioned it into a bowl. So the Gemara says that's a nolad, and that's machlokas between Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Yehuda would say it's aser, that bowl, and Rebbe Shimon would say it's muksa, it's mutter. It's not nolad. Along similar lines, let's say you have shells of a nut or something like that on Yontif that are now only lahasaka. Similar point. Let's say I use my almond shells for fuel. So are they muksa on Yontif? Are they nolad on Yontif? So Rabbi Shimon says no. You know, they started off beginning of Yontif, they weren't muksa. They were batel to the almond. And at the end, then they're transformed into firewood, gevaldik. And Yudah says, no, it's something new. They weren't around at the beginning. You know, originally it was a piece of a nut, and now it's fuel. So that is nolad, and it's aser. Okay, so that's a machlokas. Now, the riff shita in general, we've mentioned this before in Yantif, is that we pass on the tribute on Yantif, whether it's muksa or nolad. Other rishonim hold that no, we paskin like Rebbe Shimon in terms of muksa on Yantif, but in general we paskin like Rebbe Yehuda with respect to nolad. Now, yeah, we're going to get there in 1 second, actually. Maybe before we get to how we paskin, just one thing I should say before. A little out of order. Tosfos on Beitza Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Dimasal Ka, and other Rishonim as well, say even though we have this debate between Rebbe Yehuda and Shimon with respect to Nolad, there's a type of Nolad, what Tosfos calls Nolad Gamor, something that really was a new creation of Yantif, that even Rebbe Shimon agrees is Aser. When is there a Machlokas? When something is sort of redefined, refashioned, changed. But something that's Nolad Gamor, then everybody agrees. Now, in terms of going back to how we paskin, some Rishonim, like Rashi and others, say we paskin both in Shabbos and Yantif like Rebbe Shimon. As I said, the Rif says, no, on Yantif we follow Rebbe Yehuda. And the Bahag Shita, this Shita, by the way, is the Yesh Omrim in the Shulchan Aruch, cited by the Rama and Simon Taf Tzad Dalet, says that we paskin like Rebbe Yehuda benolad, and that's true even on Shabbos. So, for example, if you have shells that are animal food, at the beginning of Shabbos they were, you know, part of the nut, which is human food, and then after I peel them, they become animal food. That would be aser on Shabbos. That's the view of the Bahag, as explained by Rabbi Nita. And it's a Yesh Omrim in the Shulchan. The Ramah, the Mishnah Berurah, basically say we're machmir for nolad on Yantif. And it's sort of a little bit of a pshara. In other words, maybe, according to the Bahag, as we said, nolad's also even on Shabbos. And moreover, according to the Rif, even in Luxa, Kol Shekei Nolad's also on Yantif. So, you know, where do they both agree it's aser? Is nolad on Yantif. So nolad on Yantif is going to be muksa. So that's very, 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 very brief. And again, no lechenu gamma. No lechenu gamma might be once even on Shabbos. No lechenu gamma is going to be once again, and that's the way the Ramah and Ashkenazim generally pass. Now let's talk about our Gemara. So we have a Mishnah, Kol Kalim, Kuf Chaf Dalit on the base, Kol Kalim, Anit Lashavish Shivrayim, Nitlin. Probably the correct gears is to take out the word Imahen, that is relevant for glossers and stuff right here. Uvalvad, you also made Malach. Shivrei Reba, Chazis Bahem, Yesah, Chavis. So the Tana Kama says that you just need me'ein melacha. It has to do something. It doesn't have to do what it originally did. Broken kalim that still have some function are mutter. And Rav Yehuda says no. You have to do me'ein melachta. Amar Yudam Shmuel, Machlokas in his Ruyer Shabbos. Dimar Savar, me'ein melachtan, in me'ein melachacheres lo. Umar Savar, me'ein melachacheres, Salam Ishbu Shabbos, to be a komutan hoel, umulchanin agavi avien mutter. And that's a svara. Okay, good. So in other words, his mutter. If it was a kli at the beginning of Shabbos, and it's still a kli, in the sense that it has some usage, so even Rabbi Yehuda would be not here. Most of Rav Zutra, Masik and Mikael Nemes, Dishmarei Mas, Dishmarei Aviantif, it's Balmaninu. Everybody should agree if the kli broke an Aviantif. So this is firewood, so how could anyone be not here? Alala, the Yantifs. It must be the book on Yantif. So this goes against the original understanding of Yudah Mishmol that would say that in that case everybody would agree because Muchanag of Avian. Al Yidmar Chiyad. Av Yudah Mishmol, Machlokish and Isru Shabbos. Dmar Savar Muchanu, Umar Savar Noilatu. Rather, it broke on Shabbos. The Tzad Lahakel is its Muchan. We said before, it's Muchanag of Avian. The other opinion says, no, it's no lot. I'm on the air of Shabbos. Divri Akol, Mutarin, Ho, V'luchnu, L'malacha, V'hodio. Good. And then we say, fine. Now, we have here a machlokas between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda then about these Shivrei Kalim, whether they're mutter or not. Now, you could read this machlokas in two ways. One is, their machlokas is whether or not this is nolad. Two is they're arguing about nolad. This is nolad, and the question is whether nolad is mutter or aser. Tana Kama says nolad is mutter, and Rabbi Yehuda, l'shitaso, holds nolad is aser. Everybody agrees it's nolad. The lashon of the Gemara, mar savar mulchanhu, mar savar noladu, sort of sounds like actually the machlokas is whether or not it's nolad. But it's unclear. So you really could read this two different ways, right? Everybody understand the two different ways to read it? Again, Mar Savar, the Tana Kama says this is Aser. Is that because the Tana Kama simply, sorry, Tana Kama says Mutter? Is that because the Tana Kama doesn't hold a Nolad? And Mar Savar Nolad who? And therefore it's Aser? Or is it the Pshat that the Tana Kama says it's not Nolad? We turn to the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham, it's in Shin Ches Sifkat Tesnov. Let's take a look. says like this. L'chasois bai, so he's going on the halacha of our Mishnah, right, kol kelim, shenishbu, afilu v'shabas, mutter, v'tachas, v'yam, v'fachi, v'ruyen, l'shem melacha. Good. So, this is not a surprising ruling. We paskin like the Tanakama. Look at the one right now. L'chasois bai. Actually, look at your dollar. It's an important thing to find out. Kol HaKelim, Ayin, Simen, Tav, Tzadi, Aleph, D'yesh, Omrim, D'no, L'razo, B'Shabbos, V'lachein, Echtov, Kol Makom, Sh'yesh, Nola. This is the opinion that I referred to before, the opinion of the Hag. The opinion of the Hag, as we said, was that Nola is also made for Shabbos, made Yom Tov. We don't accept that, the Hag. We assume that Nola is only also on Yom Tov. But it is a Yesh Omrim cited in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramas, the Magen Avraham says. So he says, you know, you have to, I'm going to mention halachos of Noah and Shabbos as well, because there is such a view in the Rishonim. Okay, next one. Al-Chasos Ba'al, L'man de Amar Noah. That was this, what man de Amar? That was the man that they just quoted in Zivkan Yadalit, namely the Bahag. According to the Bahag, Aser, in other words, according to the Bahag, if you have the only time the Shivrei Kli is going to be wonder is if it's Ra'ui l'melachtan, but not Ra'ui l'melacha. Now, and he gives an example. So the Bahag is, I'm going to tell you, you know what? If you follow the Bahag, I want to tell you very important halacha. This halacha and Shulchan Aruch isn't true. You should know if you're machner like Bahag, it's going to be mutter only melachtan, not melacha. Now, that's not going to be so interesting for us, like we said, because we don't paskin like the Bahag. Will be very interesting for us in terms of mountain, as we'll explain in a minute. Now, before we get there, how is the Bahag reading this machlokas? Not the Bahag, the Magen Avraham. How is the Magen Avraham reading this machlokas? Is he understanding that this is a machlokas of whether or not it's nolad, or is this a machlokas whether or not Nolad is Mutter or Aser? He's understanding it's a machlokas of whether or not Nolad is Mutter or Aser, right? And therefore he's saying, if you paskin like the Bahag, that Nolad is Aser, so then you're going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, the machlokas in our Mishnah, Tanakama says Nolad's Mutter, Rabbi Yehuda says Nolad's Aser. That's the machlokas. That's where the Magen Avraham is reading. And then, Nafkamina, Lididan, on Hilchos Yantif, if you're Ashkenazi, would be this halacha, right? If your Kli breaks on Yantif, so we are Machmir for Nola on Yantif, according to Magen Avraham, which can be Aser, according to, we'll see if anyone argues.
Isn't everyone on Nola is Aser on Yantif? Machlokes is whether
Nola is Aser? Yeah.
No, I meant as opposed to Sfardim, that whether it's Nolad or Muksa, if according to Mechaber, regardless of what, if it's Nolad or Muksa, I just meant this. Well, you'll see in a second. Good. Good. So that's the Magen Avraham. Not everybody agrees with this Magen Avraham. The Elie Rabba, the Taz over here, the Tosef HaShabbos, both are quoted in the Ma'aseh HaShekel on this Magen Avraham, all disagree. They read the Gemara, like I actually would have thought is the more simple Lashon of the Gemara, Mar Savar Muchanu, Mar Savar Nolatu. Meaning to say, the Machlokas isn't whether Nolad is Mutter or Aser.
The Machlokas is whether this is Nolad
or not. Now, if you accept that reading,
so then if it comes out, that it would be Mutter on Yom Tov.
Or for that matter, it would be Mutter according to the Bahag. Why?
Because maybe we should pass him like the Tanakama,
right? The Stam Mishnah, the Tanakama. And therefore, we, even in a case where you'd be Machmir on Noah, like on Yom Tov, it should be Mutter, right? It should be Mutter.
Now, this issue, this debate between, what we could call it, the Magen Avraham versus the Taz, is already in the Rishonim over here, if you look at the Rif,
on our Gemara, the Rif sounds more like the Elia Rabba, not like the Magen Avram. I want to just take a quick look. Maybe it's not explicit, but probably the simpler reading. Sorry? So, okay, so let's take a look. Vilchasa Ketana Kama. Good, so he starts with the Tana Kama. V'amir Behag, this is the Behag we keep on referring to. V'amir Behag, Mishmei Rav Tzemach Gon, Vilchasa, Reb Yehuda. Kamalon, Reb Yehuda, Lachak Reb Yehuda. Mistab, Lan Hani Milecha, De Palo Behedya. Avalecha, De Divrei Rebbe Meir, Stam, Reb Yehuda, Hu De Palo Behedya. Who did Palig? Sorry, Rabbi Yehuda. Who did Palig? Bad. Yelo Aminim. Rami Rabbi Yehuda. Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Ella Halacha Kastam. Now, it's over here. It might be true that the Tana Kama is Rami Meir, and the Halacha is you follow Rabbi Yehuda against Rami Meir. But the Tana Kama, it doesn't say in the Mishnah Rami Meir. It calls him the Tana Kama. In the Mishnah, he appears Stam. So therefore,
we should follow the Tana Kama. We should follow Rami Meir. Therefore, we pass like Rami Meir.
Sounds like the Rif is saying we pass like Rami Meir. And therefore, this is not nolad. And therefore, it's mutter. Like we said, nafka mina l'inyan yanta. In other words, if we put it a little differently, what's going to be the halacha by masikin b'shivrei kelim on yantif? If you follow the Al Yoraba, the simple reading of the Rif, it's going to be mutter. If you follow the Magen Avraham, it's going to be aser. Sounds a little bit like to be machmir and neshayla from the Mishnah Brura. The Ramban and Mishnah Brura agree that in masikim shivikim biyantif, which works according to Magen Avraham, wouldn't be true according to Elia Rabba. Sorry, in Hilchos Yantif, the Mechaber says in masikim shivikim. Now, that isn't a raya, because that could be Alt Rebbe Yehuda, but the Rama, in other words, maybe it's Alt Muksa, not Alt Zalot. But the Rama and the Mishnah Berurah seem to accept that, which would be the view of the Magen Avraham, not the view of the Elia Rabba.
Doesn't everyone hold? I thought the Rama thinks we should be machmir for the Rebbe also.
This wouldn't be nolad, according to the Elia Rabba. What? Well, I was assuming something. I don't know if what I'm saying is correct. And I have to look into it. In other words, I was saying the following, that if you, even if it's not nolad, it might still be muksa. But maybe that doesn't make any sense. In other words, once it's not nolad, it shouldn't even be muksa. So then everybody, yes. Right. Yeah.
I mean, I think the Taz is addressing that he's right. Isn't he the Taz by us?
Yeah, well, he's very bothered by this,
and
right?
He says the wood's not a keli.
Right. Now that, Agav, brings up another interesting issue. First of all, that relates to what we were talking about yesterday. It also brings up another interesting issue. I don't want to get into it so much. But the Ritva over here writes that if it was mamish, a broken kli, let's say it was worthless. My chair, mamish, fell to pieces, and it's totally. So then it would be muksa, even a libid Reb Shimon. So I thought the pshat in the Ritva was because it's no legamar. Though Ike had a different pshat in the Ritva. He thought that even was good. Right. It doesn't have to tell us clue. I should toss it. Anyway. Okay. Good. Fine. What?
No one would say it has Torah's
clue. No, it's Yantis. It's firewood. It's right. So I'm Lishitasi because I think the pshat is that firewood of Yantis is a clue. I mean, you said yes, it's not focus, but that's more my natia. And I tell Shitaso that it's not a kli, it's just mutter anyway. Now let's continue reading this Magen Avraham, because then he says something very, very interesting. V'hu adin, so again we're in Magen Avraham Sifkan Tesvav and Shimches. V'hu adin, im akum os a kli b'shabbos, aso l'tatalo l'das zeh. Let's say you have a guy who makes a kli on Shabbos, so according to das zeh, meaning the Baham, that's going to be no lad and it's going to be aso. Now why is this a bit surprising? If you look at the Ma'ach Tzisa Shekel, he points out that because we can look at the Ma'ach Shekel, just read it, Afa Gav Dekai Milan, Deshel Goy, Ein Tzar Chachain, Tzivin Tav Tzadi Ches Sif Gimel, we say Ein Achain Lanachri, Mikol Makom, Nolad, Gam Bishel Goy Aser, Moshka Zaman Gan Avram, Tzivin Tav Kathay, Deloy Kilavush. So a very interesting machlokas over here between the Magen Avram and the Lavush. We have a principle of Ein Hachein L'Nachri. Does that apply to Nolad or not? The Magen Avraham says that Nolad is an exception to the rule for obvious reasons. That might be that the guy, you know, had this in mind, but L'maisa, it's a new creation. So therefore, the Haktsa'a of Nolad, the Isser of Nolad, is not so much because of the lack of hachana, as much as the objective newness of the creation. And Lavush disagrees. Lavush says, no, ein achein l'nachri, and therefore there's no problem of nolad by a guy. Now, an interesting nafgamina for this, as Ike pointed out, would be newspapers on Yantif. Let's assume for the moment that you think you could read newspapers on Shabbos. There are a lot of issues in terms of that. Is it a shtari hadiotos? Is it a problem of amira l'nachri, that the guy made it for the Jews and therefore it's us? So let's say you get over those problems. You think it's not a problem of kriya shtari hadiotos because you're not reading advertisements or the business section and the news is okay. It's important information. And you think that there's no issue of Amir al-Nachri because it's mostly made for the Gayim. Those are both very debatable issues, but let's say we're makel on those two shilas, or someone's makel on those two shilas. But now there's a bigger problem, which is Nolad. So if you hold a newspaper is Nolad Gamor, then you're stuck even on Shabbos. We said before Nolad Gamor is us on Shabbos. Maybe no newspapers aren't going to be Nolad Gamor because of what? Very simple. What was it before Shabbos? Before Shabbos, there's paper, there was ink. The factory puts them together. It's not a whole new creation. It's an improvement. It's not particularly valuable as paper before, I think. As you could use it to pack your... It has a new use, but that's not Nolad Gamor. That's Nolad Sheino Gamor. That's like our Mishnah, right? Originally, this was used as a bowl, and now it broke, but now I use it as a cover. So it's Nolad Sheino Gamor. So that's a debate. There are Achronim, the Riv of Ephraim, and others who say it's Nolad Gamor. But let's assume for a moment that it's going to be Mutter on Shabbos because it's Nolad Sheino Gamor, and we paskin like Rib Shimon on Shabbos. But on Yantif, it's still going to be Aser, if you hold up the Magen Avraham, because on Yantif we paskin like Rib Yehuda for Nolad. And therefore, even Nolad Sheino Gamor is Aser on Yantif. However, if you look at the Slavush, it's going to be Mutter on Yantif, because Ein Achein L'Nachri. So this machlokas over here, that between the Lavush and the Magen Avraham, will be a nafkamina, whether those who read newspapers on Shabbos could read them on Yantif. There are those, we saw quoted from the Shmir Shabbos Kohasa, that say that newspapers are Nolad Gamor, but they're still Mutter on Shabbos because of the Lavush, in which case they'd be Mutter also on Yantif. Fine. Oh, there's Nishmas Avraham quoting Rosh Hashanah, right? Yeah, sorry, it wasn't the Nishmas Shabbos, it was in the Nishmas
Avraham. Which Shaykh is the Nishmas Avraham to Shabbos?
Nishmas Avraham is a Sefer on all of Or Chaim. So, yeah, he wants to say like this, interesting Shaila. Mention it, but then we should go on. Faxes. So he says faxes are going to be Aser and newspapers are Mutter. Why? Because newspapers be Ad Gai, Atok. If it's a newspaper printed by Jews on Shabbos, then it doesn't. Okay? But newspapers are printed by a guy, and Ein Hachin L'Lachin, and we pass them like the Levush. But fax is going to be Noel Gomor. So therefore, it's going to be Asher not just on Yantif, but even on Shabbos.
Why is it not printed by him?
What?
The guy causes it to be made.
It's
the
Jewish office.
You have in your house.
You have in your house.
No, but they're doing it.
Who's fact?
No, meaning the guy is sending it.
It doesn't matter. At the beginning, my paper, the paper belongs to me. The paper at the beginning of Shabbos has no words on it. The paper in the middle of Shabbos all of a sudden is full of words. Right? They fax me Dvar Torah from Eretz Yisrael.
If a guy...
I need to give a drasha, Shal Shudis, so it's a very good strategy, you know. They tell me what the Rebbe said in Eretz Yisrael, they fax it to me, and I read it. I bring it to Shul for Shal Shudis and give a drasha. Amazing. So Shon Zalman said, apparently, that this is Nolad Gomor.
A guy that takes my pen and paper, so that's why is that no?
I can't take it to Shul, right?
A guy that takes pen and paper of mine, that's considered Nolad if you assume
it's
a guy.
Okay, good. Anyway, so that's that. One more issue that I want to discuss very, very briefly, but it's worth it to discuss before Shabbos because it might come up. Anybody has bricks around the house? I'm just... the rest of Shira also is true, but the rest of Shira wasn't overtime yet. So the Gemara says like this. Let's say you have leftover bricks. They're okay. Why? Because you could sit on them. But if you make them into a pile, then it's asher. Why? Because you're not to them for the next building project. Kivaldik. So I have a kasha. Let's assume this Gemara is going to point to Rav Shimon. So it's true that Shadinu Atzinu your Matzadam. But remember, according to Rav Shimon, what do you need for something to be Moksa? Two things, right? Okay, these are Chazi, but they're Atzinu, so they should be Mutter, according to Rav Shimon. So maybe our Gemara is not going according to Rav Shimon. It's one possibility. Actually, the Marshan Beitza Lavidanov says that way. Oh. So the Ritva says what you said. The Ritva says over here, no. You're right, they're Muxamat Sarkis. Bricks are fragile. You want them to be nice and crisp for your building project, and therefore they're Muxamat Sarkis. Then it's also very Pashat. If you look at the Rach over here, he says, like they're like Grogos and Tzimukim, Sarchi and what he means. But the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah both say that the Pshat is that Ein Toras Kli Aleihem. What's the Pshat? Pshat is very simple, chayra, which is that this is construction material fundamentally. Right? This is construction material. When it could go both ways. That's why they were what before I finished my building project, why they muksa. It wasn't some kiss, they weren't tars kli, it's construction material. When I'm done, mistama, they're gonna be a chair, so they're mutter. But if I push them aside, I say, no, this is construction material, and it's muksa machmas gufa. Maybe that's what the Rach also means.
Yeah.
They have no tars kli. It's construction material. We don't. Muxamach Sarm Kis is a kli.
Why is it Pashat
Tarskli? What?
Why is it Pashat construction material is not attached to it? It's not attached to it. It's used to build something. Right?
So the answer is so it is fashioned, good, and that's why this is mutter. But that's why it's mutter when you designate it for sitting. And so you don't need a miser for this to be chud. But the answer is that building materials is not a kli. Building materials are construction materials. We're going to, I guess, maybe we'll get back to that a little later.
It's not a use. It's a use.
Right.
It's fashioned for use.
It's, that's no. Use for building is not, that's what the Mishnah says, it's not tars kli. Tars kli means use for using, not building. So okay, it's very important. No, this is, again, brings us back to our understanding of what does a kli mean for muksa, and here you hear you see them going around there. We're both saying this point. Now, oh. At least that's the way I understood the Mishnah Berurah. Why did the Mishnah Berurah? Why didn't the Ritva say this way? So I think the Ritva held that since you designated them, since they have, that maybe along the lines of what you were saying, they retain Torah's kli. In other words, until you put them into a pile, they were a kli. So they retain Torah's kli, and therefore, Memela, the only way to make the muksa is to say their chesed kiss. Whereas among the Avraham, the Shavura, they both say no. They both say that since it's a go either way, then it retains back, it reverts back to its natural status of construction material, which is muksa machmas gufo. All right, much more to say about this topic, but alas, we're out of time. I wish you have a wonderful Shabbos, and Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up on Sunday.